about how far we can go? Like, you know, like, the day now means the way up.
You mean the date, for a date? Or?
Oh, no, not the date. Just for a day to go friends or something like that. You know?
Where would I go?
Yeah.
In 1945?
Yeah.
Well, I think at that time they still had gas rationing on. I'm not sure when they took that off. They had gas rationing on. You could only get so much gas. And there wasn't too many places you could go at the time because there weren't a lot of that much gasoline for your car. Yeah, it was still in the downwind on the end of it, and I think there was still gas rationing on. But, I mean, we used to pool our gas in the summer, just say we wanted to go fishing. I would pool my gas from this week, and the other fellow would pool his gas and would put it into one car and go fishing if we go to Bay City. Our favorite fishing place down the line, by the way, Quantico City or somewhere like that. But if we went an outing, we went out to the farm here out to Freeland. We had friends out there, and we'd go out there for the day, a nice yard, and spend the day with them.
How did you get back and forth to the
Oh, yes, I drove my own car. I was fortunate enough to be one of the union representatives over there, and due to the fact that I was a representative, I was a little more gas because I had to do some running around with the car to straighten out some difficulties. Nobody had a grievance, and I had to go to his house to see him. And of course, I had to attend meetings, and they were extra that I couldn't be in with my regular allotment.
How did you get your gas? They issued cards or something?
They issued cards, yes, stamps like. Well, I don't know. I've never seen a food stamp, so I don't know. But they were stamps. They were, like if you buy a book of postage stamps now, they were similar. Mm-hmm. And there was R stamps and T stamps, and each one meant so much gasoline and so much that you were allotted so much more. And get more gas for one stamp than you would get for another. Our stamps generally were considered stamps for you use some equipment on a farm that needed the gasoline for farm equipment or your truck for hauling things. Normally cars that had different stamps for that. And every so often you had to go and get it when you run out. A certain time you had to get it renewed, like your driver's license.
That's interesting. Can you tell me more about the unions or anything like that? You said you were a union representative.
Well, I was committed in the plan for 25 years. I got re-elected.
They liked you.
Well, I was honest with them. If someone was wrong, I told him he was wrong.
Did you ever get in trouble for doing that, though?
No. Mm-hmm. Apparently not, because I got reelected every time. I got reelected for 25 years. And if sometimes they didn't like it, but they always knew that I would do a job for them when they were right. Mm-hmm. And I'd fight for them when they were right, as when they were wrong, I'd tell them when they were wrong. And, of course, sometimes there are borderlines, and, of course, sometimes a foreman would say this, and he would lie. Sometimes the individual would lie to me. After a while, I got so I could tell when they were lying. I would say, look, if anybody has to do the lying, let me do the lying, because I won't get in trouble for lying, but you will. And so I got along with management fairly well due to the fact that I was considered honest with them and also honest with the men. I didn't stand for any fooling around of trying to go break or anything like that. I had a job to do. I'd done my job. They had a job to do. They better do their job. And I've always got along that way, and I've been re-elected every time.
The workers
re-elected? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The people in the district. Take for instance, we had five districts, so District 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And I didn't have the same district all the time. Sometimes they would redistrict the plan in order to get me in the district. At one time or another, I served in every district in the plan, one time or another. But most generally, I served in District 2 and District 3. And that was the foundry and the maintenance department, the coal room, cafeteria, the electrical department, and the pattern shop.
The district sandwiches like different departments in the place, like grouped together, like in one district.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Were they like in the general area?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. You see, they took them, let's say.
Yeah.
I got pencils here, but I'm wrong. Let's say, for instance, that we'll make this here square, but normally that isn't the way it works.
Yeah.
Then there is probably like this. And depends on how many people work in this area and this area. And they were grouped together so that, let's say you had 400 people working in these two areas. And due to the fact that there was 400 over here, another district had to be made. Because they figured that you couldn't serve that many people and do a job for them. So there was another district made over here. Maybe they had 250 in here. And then they had another district that was out here that covered the entire yard outside. There was people that worked outside getting they call them material handlers eventually. They call it the yard crew one time, and then they got fancy names for them. They got material handlers.
Mm-hmm.
And this was bunched in with this here.
Mm-hmm.
One time it was bunched in with this here, because after a while they added on the steel foundry and the shell foundry, and they put that on there and put this in with this here group. And of course there was a cafeteria in there. They had about 50 people.
How many people?
You could use representative. How many people? You just like one representative for the whole 400, or that's right.
Is there like two or three of them?
No, just one. Just one.
So there was five representatives
for
representative
of
the
whole
plant, three
or five different types. Well, let's see. No, they had one, two, three on the morning shift, and had two on the third shift, because the fact that the third shift, the entire plant, their district, because the fact that there weren't very many people working, mostly maintenance and some other jobs that were running, probably say 300 people, or maybe 400 were working on the third shift, or on the morning shift, or on the second shift, it might have been 1,500 working, 1,400. Each shift.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they got them in the district. So one time I had this district all by myself in here. And then when they added that, they put that district and that together. And they took this here district and put it in with the maintenance and the pattern shop and the electrical department and the cafeteria. And then one other time they took and put this in with this here department and made this another district because of the fact that more people worked in that area. I've served in various capacities in Parliament. And vice president one time, could have been president one. He was vice president, trustee.
What was the number?
455.
I don't know why, I didn't think you were satisfied yet.
And of course, I've been on a lot of picket lines.
Yeah.
Practically everyone in town, one time or another, has a member of the flying squadron.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And, I even done a little picket duty in Flint. In Flint. And also in Midland, Bay City.
Where at?
But mostly around here. And, you get a good education that way, you know?
Yeah, I miss you too. That is experience.
You know, you get to meet people. You could go anywhere. You were never in any danger. Of course, you were on a picket line sometimes.
Yeah,
people wrap
it
up. Yeah. Yeah, but got along. Yeah, we got to organize, less picket duty there was to do, less picketing there was to do. Of course, now every 3 years, contracts for General Motors come up. Yeah, some picket duty has to be done sometimes or another. You don't usually have any problems. Trouble is unless somebody gets a little smart out of it. Usually there's a captain with the pickets and he takes care of it. Unless it's from the other way by some smart policeman that wants to show off or some member of management or their supervisors. And usually you don't have any trouble unless that does happen. And then, of course, they come together. Let me say this. The union is good for the city. It's good for the state. It's good for the country.
Why?
Without the union, Lincoln just freed the black slaves to a certain extent, but he didn't free the white ones.
There was a lot of women, a lot of children, a lot of men even doing a lot of hard labor in the factory.
The first 2 years I worked in that plant, I knew two people from the outside, and there were 60 people in part. At the end of 2 years, I didn't know anyone's name except by sight. If you talk to someone, you better talk while the foreman is there so he knows what you're saying, or else, out. There's always a bunch of them standing out there looking for a job. That was in 31, 32. It was worse than being in prison. But you have a family. You want to eat. You endure a lot of things. Yeah, you endure a lot of things. And they were just like, mule skinning. They stood behind you. You made so much or you don't come back the next day.
I think unions right now are getting a little bit too much, so I can't see it.
There are good people in all walks of life, and there are bad people in all walks of life. But we need the union. We need it. We've got to have it. Otherwise, if this would have happened now, that happened back then, you would have a revolution. choice. And that's the way it was. It was that way. I've seen already where they have fruit pails they use in the cafeteria. They have fruit, grapefruit, oranges, or beans, or whatever they use. And if you wanted a drink, there's a line that goes down here, and there are molders back here that make the molds and put them on a line. The iron cores are here, and pour the metal into the molds and make the castings. If you wanted a drink, you waited until the foreman went over to just a pipe, guy that got it, and sometimes that much molding sand on the bottom of the pail. And molding sand is black with ink. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's molding sand on the bottom there. But you don't complain. Well, somebody else will be in there in your place 15 minutes after you complain. But those things, it's good for the country. The union is good for the country. It is. It's done a lot of things of the country, and it's done a lot of things for, well, I don't believe the big corporations are going to do without the union. I don't believe they would. I don't believe they'd want to do without the union. Well, after all, there are rules, and rules a company lays down. The union sees to it that they're enforced. Because they have their meetings once a month, and they have to talk about the rules. Of course, some go in, they want to get them changed that are not proper or right. Go in and try to get them changed. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. They discuss it with management to get them changed. And some of them they do. But they don't get all of them changed if they want changed sometimes. On the other hand, management doesn't want them all changed either. Some of them they want changed. And, I know at one time they had a rule that if you sold something, you were discharged. Well, we had a gentleman in there that was a maintenance man. He was able to get the tool crib and things like that, you know. And he had served a little time in one of the prisons. Didn't come out at the time, no one knew. Then he had problems with his wife. Finally, him and his wife, they had a set to. She left him, or he left her. So what she do? She called the plant and told him about the thing that he had. And so they went down there. Legally confiscated these things, brought them back to the plant. And of course they would have been put in prison for stealing. So they discharged him. So when they discharged him, I know so much about the case because I handled the case.
Yeah.
So when they discharged him, the shop rule says for theft you will be discharged. It's a shop rule. So when I got a hold of the case from the individual, and the management said that they would come. And that's what he had told me. So I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. When I said, they won't prosecute. Jackson for life. I says, come on, you guys are talking silly. You don't read your own damn rules. And he says, well, how do you figure? Says, read your shop rule. Forget what the rule was, the number of questions. He says, you will get discharged for that. And that's what he did. He stole the stuff that you guys got. I mean, he had a couple $1,000 of stuff he had stolen. That wasn't just a little bitty thing.
No, I said my brother-in-law, he knows the guys. I think he
sent
you just like a wrench or two, but nothing real great.
Well, but he's had, die sets and motors and what all that. He had all kinds of things, a couple $1,000 of stuff. But I told him, he was going to lose his job when I talked to him. But I said, they won't prosecute you, they can't, because it's a shop rule. I showed him the shop rule. I told him. And that's the way it was settled. He was discharged and gone.
They
couldn't
prosecute
it all because of the shop rule.
They get wound up in their own stuff sometimes.
Correct.
They do.
Correct. Correct at that, though, not.
No, they
didn't. Changed the rule. But they made the rule. I didn't make it. I didn't make the rule. They made the rule. I mean, that's just that's going to be next time he isn't going to give quite so much money, and it's going to make it tough on some of the politicians, because it's going to be harder for them to get the money they need actually for honest work, you know, for advertising, maybe television time or radio time or eventually came to it, and it didn't take a year or 6 months or 3 months for it to get to it. Maybe a couple of days or a couple of hours, but eventually he found out what was going on. Oh, there's a lot of things that happened in the plant over there. When we returned to New Orleans, a lot of the ladies worked there. Some of the foremen were sexy. They thought they were, you know?
Yeah.
And they made all amends to some of the ladies, you know. And some the ladies complained, and some supervisors, foremen, whatever status they had, complained. All they had to do was complain if they were offended by his advances or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We've had a few that happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't mind what he was saying to her or what he wanted. fine. It was her business. It was not no personal. Her personal business was her own. But if she objected and complained to her committee man, that was then the union's business. But she was a union member, and it was the committee man to take it up with the steps that were necessary to take care of that. And of course, some of them lost their jobs. So the former lost their jobs under here. That's the fact that they did. They didn't take the lady's warning. They want nothing to do with it.
I don't know what else, if there's anything else you want to tell me about.
Got anything that you...
Well, you kind of get everything. You get the unions, and you get the streetcars, and the fashion store and all, and everything like that.
The red light district.
The red light district, yeah, I can't forget that.
Yeah, and now the transportation is such that the reason they don't have transportation now is because of the fact that now people ride public transportation.
Right.
And the reason they ain't is because of the lousy service that was given. And let's go back to 1926 again.
Okay.
At that time, you weren't driving that car.
Ah, that time I wasn't even thought of.
I know, but I mean,
yeah.
Let's put you right back in that
okay.
time. You weren't driving that car. There weren't any ladies driving cars.
At all?
At all. Oh, there might have been a very, 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 very few.
My mother, I'm trying to think, she was born in 15, she was only about 11 years old then. She started driving when she was about my age, about 20. That would be about 25. No, about 35.
Yeah, but that time is there. Whenever ladies went somewhere, they took the crosstown bus. It was easy. I had to drive to walk about 2 blocks, get on the bus and go to town. The girls, same way. Or the husband or the brother drove downtown. But most of the time they went by bus. On Saturday morning, it was just like the fair down there. Just like the fair. The streets were just plugged with people. Saturdays. Yeah, 10 o'clock on in the morning until 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock at night. And it was just like midway in the fair. And there were just that many people down on the street. Now, I mean, you could shoot a cannon down one of the streets and you'd be lucky to get one person.
Yep. It's pretty clear.
But a lot of there were exceptions, I guess. There were some ladies that drove. Of course, there weren't that many cars. There is now either.
Sure.
Now, everybody. 99.9% of the people have at least one car. Some of them have as high as 7 cars. Well, there's the father, the mother, the brother, and the brother, and the brother. You know, I know a family that's got 7 cars because it's got so many drivers in that family.
That's what times in my husband's family, 6 kids in that family. He had a car and a van.
Well, there was 11 in my family. We had one car. Thank you.